The following is an unrehearsed interview with Tom Saunders by John Clee for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at Maysville Community College on September 19th at 11 o'clock. Okay. Tom, just tell me what you're doing now.
I'm attending Maysville Community College and raising tobacco, and I have a first bad farming operation, and then in January I'll be attending the University of Kentucky.
Okay, now you came to Maysville and you're studying what?
Agriculture.
Okay, and you've been on a farm what, all your life? Or?
Yes, sir.
And is this a family kind of thing?
Yes, the property was my great grandfather. He bought it after World War One.
Okay, and you live where?
Sardis.
Out Sardis, okay. Tell me about your crop this year, what you're doing.
Well, we just got through housing. Looks like it'd be about 2 weeks before we start stripping. And we didn't have as bad a crop as they did in some places in Kentucky. I'd say we'll probably make our way.
Right.
Of course, we had a lot of excess last year. And
so you didn't put out as much?
No. It looks like our crop's going to be an average crop, it's not going to be below average, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many acres you put out?
Myself, I put out 5.5, and then in partnership with my grandfather and my dad, we've got about 10 or 11 acres.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do you handle the finances on a partnership like that? Does one of you take care of it? Or?
Well, more or less, we've each got our own acreages, and we take care of that finance on that. Of course, my grandfather gets half of it since it's his property.
Yeah.
And then I also raised some on a fellow in Lawrenceburg, Kentucky. He rents for me that I get 65%.
Okay, now he owns land over there? Or?
No, he owns land on the Blue Licks Road in Robertson County.
Uh-huh.
I also raised his, and he hadn't got a barn, so I housed him back in our barn.
So that makes for the bigger percentage.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Now, how did you, what kind of arrangement was that this year? Did you lease it for so many cents a pound? Or?
No, it's just when the tobacco's sold, he gets 35%, and I get 65% of the money.
Mm-hmm. What you talked about, 4 or 5.5 acres, was that yours, or 4.5?
5.5.
5.5. What, how many pounds is that?
Well, this year we usually make around 3,000 pounds an acre. This year I'd say probably somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,500 pounds an acre.
Mm-hmm.
Since this wasn't a good crop year.
Okay.
We haven't made as much as 3,400 pounds, but it seems like the last few years it's been declining.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're raising your tobacco, you just... do you have to do anything special, Sardis, around in that territory? What kind of fertilizer you use, or do you soil test?
Well, we soil test part of our ground, and then part of it we know the farm, and
mm-hmm.
we know about what it takes.
Uh-huh.
But we found some tobaccos that grow better in Sardis. A lot of people around Sardis grow 2110 tobacco.
Uh-huh.
2114 we've had real good luck with, but 2110 usually gets us the most weight.
I see.
And in the bottoms, we usually go with a black sack of distant tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
Because
that has been a problem?
Well, we've never had the problem, but we've got neighbors that's had it on all sides of us, so we always take the precaution.
Right. Okay. You're attending college studying agriculture. What brought you to that decision?
Well, the decision, I guess, was probably made 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
That farm is all I ever wanted to do. I never really tried anything else.
Mm-hmm.
I never seen anything else that I liked any better, so I just never tried anything else.
Why do you like farming in particular?
Well, I guess... First, it's being your own boss.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have a certain wage. It's whatever you work it's however hard you want to work, that's what you make a year. I mean, if you don't do your homework, you don't get paid for it. So that's kind of like what I like about it. I don't think I could work at a public job and be satisfied. So I'll probably go on with farming.
Yeah. Now, why did you decide that you needed the college?
Well, there was a time I feel in agriculture when raising the crop was the big point in the crop.
Mm-hmm.
But now I feel that marketing management is the key in being a successful farmer. So
mm-hmm.
that's mainly why I'm going to college. I'm trying to get the economics and the management aspect
yeah.
of it. As far as knowing how to raise the back, I probably could do without the college.
Sure.
But I need the business end of it.
Okay, now you've been going here a couple of years and raising the crop same time. Has there been, do you feel like you've learned anything up to now that's really helped you in the, with farming?
Yes, more. I feel like I've received more help in the cattle end of our farming operation
mm-hmm.
I have in the tobacco.
Sure. Tobacco's kind of got a set
yes,
market.
But I feel like when I go to university that I'll get in on the tobacco end of it.
Mm-hmm.
Really, as far as here, I don't feel like I've picked up that much. Maybe
on the
some economics,
yeah.
but
mm-hmm.
as far as the actual raising of it,
yeah.
I couldn't say that I have.
How's it helped you with the cattle? Is that with when to sell and how to sell?
Well, mostly, I've had an animal science class here,
mm-hmm.
and that's what's helped me more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Barry taught it, and,
yeah.
and mostly out of the book, I learned a lot of things that I have used at home
uh-huh.
since I learned it.
Yeah.
I believe in trying new things, and
mm-hmm.
I think it's helping our operation. My grandfather's older, and
mm-hmm.
he just kind of quit trying things, but
mm-hmm.
since I started college, it seems like he's willing to try anything that I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't work, we kick it out.
And you said you were on a diversified farm. That means what? Tell me about what you do on the farm.
Mainly our farm is 300 acres,
mm-hmm.
and then I rent tobacco on the side, but
yeah.
no other land.
Mm-hmm.
And we raise red clover hay, Timothy hay, and orchard grass and alfalfa. And then we have 60 head of cattle,
mm-hmm.
beef cattle. And then we have the tobacco. And something new I tried this year was a tomato crop. I had 900 tomato plants.
Did
so
you?
That's
yeah.
that's mainly our operation. It's
yeah.
nothing big. It's just small.
Yeah.
We try to keep it well managed.
Right.
As much as we
can. Now, how important is the tobacco to a farmer, say, out there in this area?
Well, it's most important to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's a dairy farmer, tobacco might not be as important to
mm-hmm.
him as it would be to us, but our beef cattle are just commercial cattle, and we're not selling
mm-hmm.
high-priced cattle or anything. We're just using it to use our pasture,
mm-hmm.
mostly.
Right.
Making a little money, but
yeah.
nothing like it about it.
Yeah. And you said earlier that a farmer can kind of write their own ticket. What kind of potential for income does a farmer have? Say, when you're looking down the future and probably thinking about getting married and so forth, you think you'll be able to take vacations and make some money? Or, you know, what kind of life do you look for to see?
Well, I look for a pretty hard life first few years.
Uh-huh.
I've had it in my mind that I'd like to buy a farm of my own
mm-hmm.
when I get out of college. And then I think after I've attained my own farm that it will start looking better after the payments are made and everything. But it's a rough time for anybody that's going into farming. And actually, I have the advantage because I've grown up with it, and
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'll make it, and it might not be easy at all, but
yeah.
but I think I have got a chance of making it.
And you think it'll be possible to buy a farm and make enough money to make your payments From the farm?
Not from the farm itself. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I feel that I'll probably buy a smaller farm and, uh-huh. and take over the family
operation.
Farm when I get out of college.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, I feel like I can pay for a small farm of my own.
So you'll be able to work on that one while you work on the family farm and make your income from that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. From crop tobacco, that where you have pounded yourself, say on the farm there, how much money do you make, say on a pound of tobacco that sells for $1.90? Have any way to estimate that, or?
Well, you really, it would look that you made more than you really do, because you got depreciation on barns,
mm-hmm.
sticks, machinery.
Right.
As far as standing back and looking, actually what you put in, the labor and the chemicals, it would look like you make more than you really do.
Mm-hmm.
But you're paying taxes on your land and everything.
Catch your own labor.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Uh-huh.
But actually, I couldn't say exactly how much a pound that we do make.
Uh-huh.
It's probably not. Our operation would probably make more per pound than a bigger operation, because it's more of the work's done at home, and we don't always have a lot of labor.
Now, counting the you and your father and grandfather together, how many total acres you have?
Mm-hmm. Well, probably 10 or 11.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that this year?
This year.
And what would it be when you didn't have, hadn't sold so much excess last year?
Next year, it would probably be up around 16, 17 acres.
Mm-hmm.
And we all get it together. It's really not, we haven't said it yet, because I'm looking at some more to rent myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, our poundage will go back up about 2.5 acres next
mm-hmm.
year on account of the excess we sold this past year.
Now, how much labor, can you all do most of the labor on that yourself?
Up until housing time.
Mm-hmm.
This year we were probably had more help housing than we ever did, because my dad had open heart surgery, and that
mm-hmm.
just left two of us to do the work. So
right.
We run probably 6 or 7 of us that would be, we'd pay in 4 or 5 to help us get the back in.
Mm-hmm.
And usually where we're just having like 2 or 3.
Yeah. Now, before he got sick though, everything up until the housing, you all did the setting and the topping in the spring?
Yes.
Of course, you probably rent the spring out, I guess.
Our tobacco's in smaller patches, and we usually spray by hand. This year, we had 6 acres sprayed with high boy. That's the first time we've ever did that.
Mm-hmm.
We've got our own spraying rig for a tractor that we use to apply rhythm meal and
mm-hmm.
insecticides in the earlier stages of growth.
Mm-hmm.
And then we spray with a backpack spray for the suckers.
Mm-hmm. You think that you like the way that works for you, or you think it's just not any more effective than high boy, just saves you some money?
I feel that we get a better job by spraying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen where high boy and missed rows and stuff. That costs you money.
Yeah.
So we feel like we do all right by doing it. Especially
mm-hmm.
high boys getting $20 an acre. And,
and
at that time of the year, we have time that we can go in and do it ourselves. It's not
mm-hmm.
like we're rushed or anything.
Right. Yeah. Now, on the, when you all, of course, you got plenty of, most of your barns, old barns, I guess?
All except one.
Uh-huh.
But last year, we remodeled two, so really, we've just got a couple of barns that aren't in that good a shape.
Okay. And when you say you remodeled it, did you do anything special for the tobacco crop?
Well, mostly it was for the labor. We
mm-hmm.
our barns didn't have nailed rails in them, so
mm-hmm.
we went back and nailed the rail and put new siding on them.
Mm-hmm.
And also we added some more air vents
mm-hmm.
for better curing.
Yeah, right.
But most of it was just for our convenience.
Yeah.
And
you said you had a newer barn. Was it built? Is it a tobacco barn?
Well, yes. Actually, it's probably not that new to most people. It's just
uh-huh.
our newest. I think it was built in 56.
Okay.
So
it's a tall, it wasn't?
Yeah, Yeah, it's a taller barn than the rest of them. It's a six-tier barn.
Okay. It's going to be a lot of labor to get that.
Yeah.
Get that out. Mm-hmm. Now, when you strip, you bale?
Yes, we have been for 2 years now. Mm-hmm. We do most of that ourselves. We don't mm-hmm. borrow labor.
Yeah. You don't do any hand tying then? It's all bale?
No. We mm-hmm. The first year that we did it, we started hand tying and went to the bale. Mm-hmm.
Did you make your own balers or buy them? Or?
We made them.
Did you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How'd you build yours? Use old tire jacks or car jacks?
No, we found a patent on a wheel
mm-hmm.
that rolls around and just kind of like press it down without the jack or the mm-hmm. air compressor either. We like that real well because we're moving from barn to barn, and these bale boxes are a lot lighter than the air compressor.
Oh,
we're all in one compartment, so that's what we've been using.
So you've got like individual balers?
Yes.
How many grades you bale in?
Well, we usually run 2 to 3. Mm-hmm. Last year we stripped in 3 because our tobacco had a black top in it. It was a real dark top, and it just didn't go with other tobacco. But it looks like this year that we'll be going with 2 because our tobacco's got a bright top in it, and there's really just 2 grades on it.
Okay. Now, on the marketing of tobacco, have your parents and grandparents been using the one warehouse, or y'all move that business around, or how did you choose that?
Well, we usually split it between mm-hmm. a couple of warehouses here in Maysville.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, I think maybe I'll try a new one.
Mm-hmm.
We've never...
Here in town again?
Yes. Uh-huh. We've never had any problems with any warehouses or anything, but sometimes we'll have a neighbor or something that goes to work at another warehouse, and we might just take him a load of tobacco as a gesture, but as far as any difference, I've really never seen any difference in warehouses. Mm-hmm. Whatever one of them does, the other one might not do the same thing, but he'll make up for it another way. So we just, most of them are the same price and everything, so we just go wherever we know somebody is.
Right, I see. You've got really not a real small operation compared to a lot of people today. Do you think could a farmer survive in Sarge, for example, if the support program ceased? They stopped the program?
No, on tobacco.
Yeah.
You think that,
would you say, for example, you're looking ahead and you've heard this talk about whether the program's going to last and so forth. Would you think you'd stay in farming then?
I would try. Uh-huh. I would try to go to another crop or
mm-hmm.
perhaps a dairy or something if it was the only way out. Of course, I like to buy it myself, and I like beef cattle, but
mm-hmm.
if I have to do something else to stay in farming, I'd try it. I can't say that I'd succeed or fail.
Well, if the support program did end, there wouldn't be any guarantee what you'd earn on your tobacco. It'd be, I guess people would still grow it. But
I've always felt like maybe the price would stay pretty true for 4 or 5 years before it started to fall apart, but I feel like after it falls apart, there'd be no sense in even trying to raise tobacco.
Really?
Because, I do feel like that the farmers will try to hold it together as long as they can. Of course, it's not going to hold together forever, but I feel like it'll hold together for a few years after.
Do you find that, particularly with tobacco farmers, is there a certain amount of camaraderie or, friendship and help? Do you all trade off work and equipment and so forth out where you live? Or?
Yes. This year, I'd say that we've probably been through 25 acres to buy in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a couple of our neighbors wasn't ready to start when we started, so they come and helped us a couple of days, and then we went back and traded back with them after we got done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this helps everybody out when you do this, because many times labor is hard to find, experienced labor.
Mm-hmm.
And it's nice to have someone around that you don't have to be telling what to do every time you turn around.
Sure.
They know what to do and they go on and do it.
Mm-hmm. Have you had any trouble finding labor, experienced labor?
Up until this year. Mm-hmm. We never had the kind of labor that we would like to have,
mm-hmm.
but this year we had excellent luck with the labor.
Mm-hmm.
I don't ever remember having any better help.
Uh-huh. Yeah. have you ever thought about, like, you know, you've seen these strippers, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody using them over where you're at? Or?
I've got one neighbor that's got one that sits in the corner in the strip room. He used it 1 year and quit.
Uh-huh.
We don't go for a lot of new things. If there's uh-huh. something new comes along that, yeah. that we see in the back of that we think will work, we might try it. But mm-hmm. we just don't go whole hog the first year and,
yeah.
and do it all.
Kind of wait and see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And up until 3 years ago, most of our equipment was older equipment. I decided I was going to go out and buy some new equipment, so I went out on my own and bought some. Mm-hmm. But for
what,
most,
what do you mean?
Well, I bought a new tractor uh-huh. myself, and then plows, harrows, mower.
Yeah.
And next year, I think we'll probably go with a roll baler. We stayed with the square bales up until this year, but
yeah.
but we're looking towards a roll baler next year.
You use the wheel setter, probably.
Yes.
You don't drop the plants.
No. We use.
What about rack wagons, y'all?
We have three, but they're mm-hmm. rarely ever used. We don't.
Right.
We don't think it really saves us that much time unless it's just the three of us or something mm-hmm. like that. We yeah. usually go back to the flatbed wagons mm-hmm. when we've got a lot of help.
Yeah.
We just don't see them as economical to use.
Mm-hmm. Why is that? Just
well, it always seems to me like everybody is getting in everybody else's way when you're trying to load or unload.
Right.
It, so you've got to have a couple of men on that thing unloading and
sure.
on top of it. It just doesn't work right
yeah.
for us.
What do you think? Well, I was going to ask you too. When you're getting, do you gas your beds in the fall or do you wait till
yes.
the spring? Or?
This year they might not get gassed in the fall because of the dry weather. Of course,
uh-huh.
the methyl bromide won't work as well in dry weather. And I'd say if it doesn't rain pretty soon, we'll have to wait till spring. We don't like to do it because we feel like we get a head start on the crop.
And when you have a problem, maybe a disease or something, where do you get your information?
I usually go to the county extension office and go through the agent through
uh-huh.
UK.
Yeah.
On occasion, I guess my grandfather has recognized things that I didn't, and,
mm-hmm.
and we've got it straightened out without that. But
yeah.
but when it's something that we don't know, we go on to the
yeah.
agent's office.
Yeah. How important is new information to a farmer? Are farmers always looking for new information, or are they wait until a problem? Kind of.
Well, I guess it's probably best that a farmer would go on and prevent, but usually he waits till it happens and then tries to do something. That
right.
happened on a blue mold and
uh-huh.
everything 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it's important to the farmer that he gets the information the next year when
mm-hmm.
he starts to crop about the root of mail and
yeah.
all the chemicals that he could be using.
Yeah, did you have a problem with blue mold?
Not the first year. We were lucky with
mm-hmm.
it. And second year we went to the root of mail.
Uh-huh.
And we never had a problem with blue mold.
Yeah.
Last year we had a half acre that had it bad. And we don't know why. It was
mm-hmm.
kind of isolated off on the back end of the farm. And
mm-hmm.
It had root of mail on it and everything, but it still had it. So
mm-hmm.
I guess it's just one of those things that mm-hmm. happened.
When you're going to buy new equipment or like the rack wagons or you know a tractor or whatever, how do you make a decision that all right, it's going to pay me in the long run to go ahead and buy a new piece of equipment? Is that just kind of a gut feeling or do you?
Well, mostly I'd say it is. Of course,
mm-hmm.
everybody's got things they like, and a farmer I guess goes out for equipment and stuff. Most of them.
Mm-hmm.
And When we go to buy something, we look at it and see if we need it.
Yeah.
See how our old one's doing and everything, so.
But what you're saying is a lot of farms just like to buy equipment.
Yeah. I think it's getting a lot of them in trouble. Of course,
uh-huh.
we like it too when we got something new, but we just don't have as much of it as,
uh-huh.
as a lot of our neighbors do.
Yeah.
I'd hope that we don't have the debts that some of our neighbors do.
Uh-huh. How important, now, you said you went to the, you bought some equipment on your own. Obviously, you get this financed. Are bankers pretty understanding, or?
Yeah, when I bought my tractor, that was the first thing I bought. And, of course, Deere & Company had a finance plan going at the time where I didn't even have to pay interest for 3 or 4 months.
Gee. Mm-hmm.
So they gave me time to sell my bike, and then by the time I sold my bike, I didn't have to run through a bank. I just went on and paid Deere & Company.
Mm-hmm.
But I have went to bank on occasion, and usually I've got off, you know, without a lot of red tape. Of course, my mother works at the bank where I was borrowing at, so I guess maybe that might help. I don't make big loans. I try not to. I go for the small ones. Short-term loans.
Do you do any kind of organized financing? You know, you get big paydays, and then you don't get a payday for a long time. How do you handle that?
Well, I always try to put as much of it away. I like to say where I can't get it for, you know, for 6 months and CDs like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's probably the best thing for me because everybody sees things they like, and I kind of like to have mine where I can't get it when I see something.
Okay.
But I just mostly I try to keep enough to run on where I can get it, and try to usually I'll plan ahead maybe 4 or 5 months on something big, like a tractor or something. I thought about that for a year before I ever decided on which one, what make, and all that.
Yeah.
And that gives you time to plan it out before before you have to make a decision.
Now, you're raising a lot of tobacco, and you lease more and so forth. Do you see a lot of little operators kind of going out? And do you consider yourself a big operator? Or?
No. I think we're probably just at the stage where you call us a larger family operation. We're not big. We don't use the big techniques or anything like that. I'd say we're probably where I would want to stay for maybe 2 years, and then myself, I'd like to go on to a larger operation. And, but most of the smaller operations around in my community are older people, and the young ones are having to get out and dig for what they get. I mean, the older ones have more or less got it made, and they're sitting back just doing what they have to, the young ones have to get out and dig a little bit harder now.
Do you see a lot of people holding jobs and farming on the side?
Yes, my dad does that, and I have a lot of neighbors that do that. I mean, they're smaller farmers, like 2 or 3 acres of tobacco.
Yeah.
But
you're hoping to avoid that. You're hoping that you can farm full time.
Yes, I plan on trying it for 2 or 3 years, and then I'll have my college education if it doesn't work, and I can try something else on the side or something.
Sure.
But I feel like we'll make it all right.
Okay. Thanks a lot for talking to me.
Okay, thank you.